You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Welcome to the inaugural edition of the ILTA podcast, Hopscast. Our first podcast guest is Rick Kreminski, and he's the Knowledge Management Director at Baker Donaldson and is based out of Chicago. He's joining us today to talk technology, innovation, ILTA, sports and how they relate to life, and assorted other fun facts. He's been an active ILTA member, author, and volunteer for over a decade. His ILTA volunteerism has been evident in every blog and article written, and he's the current sitting ILTA board member. Before we begin, let's run through some of Rick's stats as if this was a baseball team. Full name?
Richard Kreminski.
Position?
Chief Knowledge Management Officer.
Current hometown?
It's Chicago.
Favorite sports team?
This is the White Sox, and I wanted to make sure I said that that's for your benefit.
You did, and I will edit this out. Don't worry. Favorite hop?
You know, I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know what my favorite hop is. I'm not a brewer.
So for our inaugural hops cast, we don't have a favorite hops.
We do not, no. If I'm playing softball, then a good hop is what I like.
All right, I can roll with that. Little fun fact.
Well, I started off as a librarian back in the day when I first started in legal industry. A couple years later, the internet became pretty, you know, popular and famous. And so I went and bought an HTML for Dummies book. I learned how to code HTML and built my previous firm's first intranet using, you know, purely HTML code. And so that's kind of how it all started with the technology.
That's pretty cool. I like the idea that something goes back to Dummies. That's perfect for this.
It's perfect for me.
Well, thank you for taking the time to talk to us today. Our topic today really is focused on how technology has changed all of our lives. How did you get started in tech?
This is going back a few years when home computers started getting popular. You know, I was in college at the time and had been used to typing up papers on typewriters and, you know, having a horrible time trying to edit things. And so when PCs became available and I started to look at those, I started to kind of get interested in, how do they work? You know, how does the technology set up? How do you set up the cables? How do you set up, eventually home networks? How do you kind of do that stuff? And I became sort of a home tech, if you will, and I do that to this day, do all the home technology and all the connections and all the PCs and laptops and whatever other devices there are. And sort of what I got started with being interested in technology, so that when the librarian and did get the urge to build the first intranet at Mayer a while back, it was pretty much a natural thing and it was something I was very interested in already. So very natural sort of progression.
Well, you can come over and fix my TV anytime you need to, but but why do you stay in tech?
Tech has always been interesting to me because it's sort of the next, you know, whenever something new comes out, it's what's the next frontier. That's interesting to me. In my role at my firm and what my role has been at my firm for the last 20 years is when something new comes out, whether it's technology or a new, whether it's a process or technology or some type of a new sort of newfangled thing, that it usually goes to the KM team to kind of look at it, investigate it, see what it is and see how we can possibly utilize it for the firm. So it's always been kind of an interesting thing for me, more so even than like home technology. I know a lot of folks get into a lot of the home stuff and gaming and all that, but that's something I never really have been into much. It's really always been more on the professional side.
What kind of technology is the most exciting for you?
I think technology that's exciting to me, I think it's after something becomes popular in the sort of home. So social media, as an example, wasn't exciting to me as a initial kickoff. So I wasn't really into Facebook or LinkedIn or I really have never gotten into some of the other ones. And it's really more about when we can take it and apply it to some type of a business case and we can do something with it that is, to me, valuable, more so than just sort of the interactive aspect of it. I like technology when it becomes viable for something that we're trying to accomplish, you know, more so than just fun, if that makes sense.
It does. And I think a lot of people are looking for technology to be ways to move their life at a faster pace.
Well, things are going fast enough for me. I think of the movie Click, you fast forward too quickly through life and you miss a lot.
I think you may have just answered our next question. I wanted to know what technology we should bring back. And I feel like you might be saying VCRs.
No, I don't like, you know, VCRs were great for the time. It was a great thing, but the day I didn't have to rewind was one of the best days of my life when DVDs came out. You know, I do like the old technology. The technology that I still use that people always notice when I have it is my iPod Classic. It, you know, it doesn't stream, but it holds 160 gigabytes of music. I take it with me wherever I go. So whether I'm on a plane, from anywhere where I can't get access to Wi-Fi, or, you know, or want to just hear my playlist the way I've developed them over the years, I can just use that technology, and it's fantastic for me.
So you take your iPod everywhere you go?
Pretty much.
Okay, so iPod and White Sox. I see where this conversation is going. Tell me about your biggest lesson learned.
Biggest lesson learned probably goes back to when I started in technology in the library. When I asked my boss, what should we do about building this intranet? When I mentioned that I could do it, you know, we were already categorizing a lot of data and information, you know, for the practice groups and for other areas. And you know, the internet was just starting to become a sort of a viable thing. And I asked, I said, should we check with IT on this? Should we kind of make sure that we're doing the right thing? And my boss, and this is a quote I say a lot from that she, you know, I heard the first time from her was, you know, it's better to ask forgiveness than ask for permission, because sometimes you just need to move forward with things. And that was something that I took as a key in business, is sometimes you just have to do what's best and questions later.
Okay. So this is a new question for me that I've asked no one before. And I think it's a really telling way to get information out of someone. Teach me something in 5 minutes that I don't know right now.
That is a tough one. Oh boy. One thing I can say, one thing that's interesting is being, you know, we talk about Cubs White Sox a lot. One thing you probably don't know is the Cubs were not always have higher attendance than the White Sox. The Cubs went through many lean years previously where their attendance was actually below that of the White Sox. And you know, the way the sort of modern world we live in, where the Cubs are sort of the lovable losers for a long time and then kicked in the World Series victory and the very good teams of late, has really, you know, brought their fan base, or, you know, if you will, it's not even a fan base, it's beyond the fan base. It's the casual baseball fan tends to definitely be a Cubs fan more than they'd be a White Sox fan. So I think a lot of that is just kind of due to current situation and current state, but it wasn't always that way.
I did not know that, because we don't talk about that in my house.
I know, that's why I purposely picked that particular topic.
I love it.
I'm trying to torture you, Beth.
It works perfectly for this. So tell me what you work toward in tech in your free time.
I work towards making my cats happy, keep taking care of them. Obviously, home life is important to me. We like to travel a lot. We like to visit new places that we haven't been to before. I visit friends in many places, and we try to be social. I mean, we try to kind of get out there and talk to people and see people as much as we can. There's always things going on with family, with friends, and we kind of live a very active life, you know, a very active lifestyle. So I'd say that I work towards a good work-life balance and sort of, you know, entertaining and then doing things that are very interesting and different.
Seeing that you're an ILTA board member, I would be remiss in asking you about three things that you think ILTA can do better, and then three things you think we're really good at.
Oh, so things we can do better. I think, you know, we've made strides in some areas of diversity and trying to, you know, both, you know, sort of work towards better diversity of membership, better diversity of, you know, like regional diversity as well. So we've started to make inroads a lot in the UK, in Australia. To some extent, we have quite a few people from Australia. But I think there's more we can do there to see if we can kind of go to other areas and sort of spread that ILTA magic in other places and bring other people on board, because I think there's a lot of opportunity there. And as far as diversity internally, in terms of, you know, any kind of diversity, it's taking a more active approach to try to bring people into the mix that maybe wouldn't necessarily volunteer, or maybe don't feel confident about volunteering, or aren't aware of their value and the things that they can bring to the table. You know, kind of being more proactive and reaching out to people rather than sort of just waiting to hear back from someone. If you think somebody's really, really good for a particular role, you know, reaching out to them and trying to get them involved and trying to sort of bring them into the mix, I think is something we can do a lot better.
I think that those are all admirable goals and totally go back to all of our current strategic goals. What other organizations do you follow along to keep up in technology?
Oh, I follow a lot of blogs. I follow LinkedIn a lot. A lot of my colleagues are, authors. They also write pieces for various publications and sort of keep an eye on them. As far as other technology goes outside of the legal industry, kind of keep up with what's on, what's in the news and what's going on in various, websites and kind of keep track of what's happening out there in the industry.
What are you working on right now?
Oh boy, lots of things. getting our budget in order for next year has been my sort of topical thing that I'm doing right now. We're looking at moving some technologies, sort of upgrading them or moving on to new technologies for 2019. And there's a lot of projects, kind of making sure projects get done. But our fiscal year ends after January 31st. So kind of getting everything in order for this year and then getting ready for next year.
I know you've got a lot on deck with ILTA. I know you've got a lot on deck professionally. But if you woke up and you had 200 unread emails, but you could only answer one of them, how would you answer and who and how would you choose?
Oh, if I could know what the content of all 200 messages was, I would look to see which one is the most important. And by the most important, it's the one I would prioritize in terms of which one needs to get out first. And the answer there would simply be, is this a hot client issue that needs to be handled right away? Is this something our lawyers need right now because they need it for efficiency? That would be my criteria, for a professional. But that would be an interesting question. That's sort of my initial response to that. I have to think about that one a little bit further, but that's my initial gut feeling.
It's kind of on the same vein, but what are you most proud of professionally?
I would probably say, it's another interesting story about me that you may not know. My parents were immigrants. They came from Poland in the 60s. And I was the first person in my family born here. So, growing up, it was sort of expected of me to sort of going to high school, going to college, everything was sort of expected. It was not an option. The hardships that my family had faced and my parents had faced. My father was a prisoner of war in World War II. Another interesting tidbit. But they dealt with a lot of adversity in their lives. And when they came here, they really did a great job of explaining a lot of that to me and having me appreciate sort of the opportunities that were there for me and not take anything for granted. So I think, kind of following along, with their guidance, going through, doing what I needed to do education-wise, and then in the professional world, kind of, moving up the ladder. I started as a librarian back in, I'll just say a while ago, and had many, many roles since then. And, I've gotten pretty far, and I think if my parents were alive today, they'd be proud of that.
I think they'd be incredibly proud of you. Do you have any lessons learned, kind of big moments, things that went wrong that you'd like to share with our audience?
Yeah, and it's funny because it is a tough question, but I think the answer that I have for this one is to speak up. When you see something going wrong or if you see something not working the way it should be working, to speak up right away. Kind of make sure that you have input to not expect things to improve. If you see something, you're working on a project, for example, and something in the early going isn't sitting right. Either somebody's not quite answering the questions the way you'd expect them to answer them. They're not kind of handling a particular area. It's really to jump on that right away and to be very proactive about that. Because I know a lot of times our tendency, and my tendency, is never to micromanage someone. So, you give people the tools to succeed and you sort of, you send them on their way, right? And if they need you, they come back to you. And sometimes you take for granted that, the folks on your team can, understand everything, and because they do a great job all the time. But, if you see a little bit of an issue or something, to definitely not just assume that it's going to get taken care of, but to right away jump in and fix that. That's something I learned quite a while ago, and would be something I would consider to be a big lesson learned.
I think that ability to see all of that is huge, and we can all apply that throughout our careers. Okay, last question. Crosstown Classic. Would you rather go to a vintage game from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, or would you rather go to the game next year?
I would rather go to a vintage game, probably the 70s. It's just an era that I'm very interested in and kind of enjoyed. I think we have a tendency to feel nostalgic, especially with things like baseball. Baseball is a very nostalgic type of sport. It's a lot of history there. The history is raised, more so than maybe a lot of the other sports. Some of the other sports, there's really, if you're a really big fan of a sport, you know the history. But if you're a casual fan, baseball is one of those sports that just lends itself to history, the way it presents itself and the way it's reported on. So I think that would be kind of cool to go back in time and see a game, a new game that took place in the 70s. That would be kind of cool.
Well, thank you very much for joining us on this first podcast. I am thrilled to have talked to a technologist, a librarian, and a White Sox fan all on the same day.
Well, thank you, Beth. And it's as always, it's a pleasure to speak with you as well. And thanks for the opportunity.
Awesome. Thank you, everyone.
This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.